Anyway, with that, guys, I want to just turn it over to Peyton here. Peyton is a part of Master Plan Ministries, and he is going to share with you why these young people are up here on the stage. So,
thank you, Mark. Yeah, my name is Peyton, and I am an intern with Master Plan Ministries. Master Plan Ministries was actually born here in Durango at the Fort Lewis campus. We are a campus ministry, and we've expanded to a couple different campuses in Colorado. But currently, we are on week two. Well, we just finished week one of a two-week project for college students called Crush Fear. And hence the name, we are crushing various fears. And the idea is inviting students to step out of their comfort zones in order to practice real, tangible dependency on Christ. So a part of that is sharing testimony. And so I have the pleasure of introducing these two ladies here who are going to share their testimony. Both of them are on campus in Grand Junction at Colorado Mesa University, and that's where I'm currently working as well. So thank you guys so much for your attention this morning, and I'll hand it over to them.
Good morning, church family. My name is Caitlin, and as Peyton said, I'm a sophomore at Colorado Mesa University studying nursing. It wasn't until my freshman year of college that I learned my life has purpose and meaning. Before Christ, I was anxious, and I really felt the anxiousness among my chest, like pressure. And towards the end of my senior year, I fell into a great depression, and I just like had no desire to see my life in the future and for what it was. I became really angry at myself for decisions I made in the past. And I really let that anger reflect on those around me that I loved, which was really difficult. What initiated my interest in Christ was in February of 2020. I was a freshman in college at a community college back home in Illinois, and I was at lunch one day with me and my friend, and these two Christians came up and were evangelizing, and they sat down and asked if they could share their beliefs with us. And you know, we just invited them in, and they shared the gospel with us. And at the time, you know, we didn't really have a knowledge of who God was. So we were just listening, and before they left, they prayed for us. And during that time of prayer, me and my friend just felt this overwhelming sense of peace, especially for me, as much as I've been carrying on physically. It was just lifted off my shoulders, and I was like, wow, there is a greater purpose of life. There's a better quality of life that I could be living. And so during the pandemic hit in March, I decided to get out of my comfort zone and transfer to Colorado Mesa University. And I told myself as soon as I got out there that I was going to seek the Lord for myself, because I was already in such a low spot. I was like, you know, I can only get better. And he gave me this sense of peace that I was still wanting to chase after. Within the first week that I transferred in, I found the group TNL, which is part of Master Plan Ministries. And after a couple of weeks of going to meetings and different events, I met with this young lady who's been discipling me, and she helped me give my life to Christ in August of 2020. I gave my life to Christ because I knew that there was a better, that he had a better plan for me in my life, and that he was going to be with me from this moment on, and that I could trust in him knowing that he was going to be with me. And in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And I truly believe that, yeah, I do have this abundant life that God has given to all of us who believe in him. And I don't have my depression anymore. My anxiety is very little, where it's really manageable. And I find joy in every day of life, even if it's just a little day passing by. And it's all thanks to the Lord. And I'm excited for my future with the Lord and what he has to offer. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mal McCraw. I go to Colorado Mesa University. I'm studying to elementary education to hope to be a first grade teacher here in the future. I'm from Colorado, but I grew up going to church, you know, every Sunday. I'm the oldest of three kids. So that had, you know, I always had my siblings looking up to me, which put a lot of pressure on me, especially with the fact that I was also battling an unknown genetic disease that, you know, caused me to be teased and bullied, as well as, you know, it was really hard to find quality friendships because of what I was struggling with. As I was growing up, I struggled with, you know, the constant feeling of loneliness because I didn't have friends. I was never able to explain my disability to friends, so people didn't really understand, and so they stayed away. I was always doing testing, and so free time wasn't a thing, so like play dates were never a thing for me. But middle school was tough because on top of the teasing, I encountered a really big bully who made me lose my self-confidence and my identity in who I was. You know, she left me feeling shattered, broken, unloved, empty, anxious, and as well, I started to blame myself for everything that she had done. I attended youth group, you know, all of school, but middle school and high school was kind of really when I started to take it seriously. But 11th grade was when it all changed for the better. I attended a summer camp with my youth group, and I heard a leader share her story about how the Lord had changed her life for the better. And this was the exact same thing I wanted to experience personally. And so I finally, you know, didn't want to feel anxious or empty anymore. And so I also didn't want to feel angry with my situation or that I was, at the time, blessed with my disability. But I also feel like I wanted to have purpose in life. And so Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, gave me, you know, that sense of confidence that the Lord will help me get through the times of trials. You know, and I made the commitment to learn and trust the Lord with everything that I was doing the end of that week. And after deciding to follow him and pursue a relationship with him, my depression started to decrease. My anxiety became easier to handle, and it's almost non-existent now. I felt loved, and I finally had a purpose in my life. My identity was found in Christ, and I stopped blaming myself for everything and embraced who I was and what the Lord, you know, made me to be. I began to forgive my bully for the hurt she caused me, and I also forgave myself for everything that I had blamed myself for. I'm now a part of a college ministry, TNO, which is a part of Master Plan, that continues to help me grow in the Lord, and walking with the Lord has changed my life for the better, and without his guidance and grace, I wouldn't be standing here today.
So good. So good. You know, it's so true that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? And so when we hear things like this from young people as they're sharing their testimony, sharing about how God has transformed their life, how they have been able to crush fear, to break down hurdles and hardships of just the trials and the struggles of self-identity and all of these things, it is something that I just go, God is so good. He is so good and so amazing, and I am just grateful to follow after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So, today I'm starting a series on positivity, to looking at our lives in this way, because, and I hate to start off by sounding negative here, but as we're talking about positivity, but I really do think that, and I'm tired of all of the negativity that we've been dealing with. Over the last 18 months, over the last year, we have been fighting hard, and we've been struggling, and we have been facing so many difficult scenarios and situations that it's been easy to get caught up in the negative emotions, and the negative heart, and the negative feeling. I mean, seriously, you go on the news, and what do you hear? People are dying. Jobs are vanishing. The economy is struggling. A nation is more divided than it's been in decades, maybe even centuries. It's the end of the world. REM, this was a band back in the 80s, starts to sing, "It's the end of the world as we know it." I know, some of you guys are like, okay. I date myself. However, they are a good band, so. You know, but at the end of it says, "And I feel fine." You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that there's so much negativity, and it's easy to get sucked into it. It's easy to get unsettled. It's easy to get anxious and to say things like, "Will it ever get back to normal? Because I am so down, so frustrated, so angry, so full of fear about what I'm dealing with." We tend to get emotionally on edge where the small things become big things, and we're easily angered. I was sharing this with some people the other night that in October, I was just, you know, dealing with the whole COVID thing. I was just anxious and fearful and frustrated and angry and all of these things. And if you know me at all, my personality is such that if somebody were to come up in front of me and there's one more cart at the grocery store left, I would definitely be like, "Here, help yourself." That's the kind of person that I am. I'm not one to make waves. I'm not one if I were walking into a building and somebody were to say, "Hey, you need to put a mask on," I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Don't want to hurt you, you know. I don't want to." But that's how I am, okay? And so I really want to make sure that I'm putting others first and helping, being a servant, right? That's my heart, okay? That's not always the case. I do fall short, but that's mostly my heart. Now, so in October, I'm walking to get a cart at the grocery store. It's the last one in the little stall there. And this other person comes walking in front of me, grabs the cart, and I go, hold on. What are you doing? And the guy's like, "Getting a cart." I'm like, "No, that's my cart. I can't believe you're going after that cart. Didn't you see that I was walking towards the cart? You walked right in front of me. You grabbed the cart. I can't believe this. How many people would just be that selfish to take the cart?" I'm like, who? I'm listening to myself. I had removed myself from the scenario. I'm going, what in the world is going on here? Who is this character talking in my body? This makes no sense to me. This is where I was at. So it's easy. I understand how, because of the scenario and the situations that we walk through, how that can get to that point where we can become that way. And a negative outlook will lead people to do crazy things, and it never leads to a positive life, right? A question I just want you to think about: how will the past, this past season, how do you think it'll affect your life for the good? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, just, okay, if you're going to take this past season, what lessons can I learn? What things can I look at? How can I turn that for the good? You know, you might say, "Well, I don't know. I've never had cleaner hands in my life." You know, I'm definitely one to not touch my face as much anymore. I don't know. I really made masks a fashion statement, so I think that's pretty good. I don't know. How can you stay positive? And I really just want us to look at why it is so important that we can understand and we can become unshakably optimistic for our future. All right? I want to look at that today in the midst of all the negativity, how we can become unshakably optimistic for our future. I just want to pray for us really quick. God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this opportunity that we can come together and hear some amazing testimonies, Lord, of how these two young ladies are taking bad situations and turning them around, Lord, because of you. Lord, may it be that today, as we dig into your word and as we look and reflect on our season of life, may it be that we can walk away from this place transformed, that we can look at the negativity in our hearts and in our lives, and we can truly recognize that there is something different, that we can be transformed in a positive way. We love you, Lord, and we just lift up this morning to you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, being that we're talking about staying positive and being optimistic, I want to just kind of look at first about, just kind of talk about optimism a little bit, and I want to just share with you what optimism is not. Okay? Optimism is not a denial of reality. It's not that place where you're going, everything's great all the time. you know, somebody's punching you in the face, I'm like, it's awesome. Punch me again. This is so great. I mean, optimism is not that. Nor is optimism like blind faith, okay, where you're just going into a situation and you don't know what's going to happen, but you're just going, ah, just kumbaya, brother, just living the dream, you know, just going after it, okay? That's not optimism either. But what optimism is, and this is just a general definition of what optimism is confidence about the future or a successful outcome. And I love this this quote from a pastor that I follow online and stuff. His name is Craig Rochelle, and he uses this as a definition for spiritual optimism, and I love this. And so it says, optimism is the unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. Okay, you can leave that up for just a second. I'm going to read this again. Optimism is the unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. As we reflect on this, I want to go to Romans 8:28. And, you know, we do have these notes in our app, so you can go into the app and you can follow along with these notes here so that you can either get ahead or you can know the stuff, or if you have your Bible, definitely turn there, and if you haven't underline this verse in your Bible, okay? And it says this, and we know that in all things, and I want to stop there for just a minute, all things, and we know that in all things, impossible bosses, financial setbacks, annoying in-laws, thank you, Tana, Dealing with having to have your kids home doing online school when they should be in classes and all of that stuff, all right? Painful breakups, irritating inconveniences, crushing disappointments. When I'm talking about all things and when we read in Romans 8:28 about all things, this is just a snippet of what we're talking about. All, translated from the Greek here, is all. All right? All things. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for the good. How amazing is that? That in all things, God is working for the good. Even a negative situation still holds potential to produce a positive purpose. Isn't that just bring a sense of peace to your soul? When you read that scripture and you go, okay, well, even in the midst of the storm that I'm in, there may be some positive purpose in this. Remember, it's talking about that unwavering expectation of a loving God who is working every situation for our future good. Today, I want to just look at how if we are dealing with a negative mindset, all right, a pessimistic mindset, how can we get to the point to start to trigger a positive mindset? It's time for us to start changing our mindset. And I want to just ask, how many of you have ever thought about what you think about? You ever thought about what you think about? That's kind of one of those things that you can go on and on. It's kind of like when you put two mirrors together and you look in the mirror and you just see the line of infinite faces or hands. You just move your hand back and forth in the mirror. It goes on and on. You can think about what you're thinking about, what you're thinking about, what you're thinking about, what you're thinking about, what you're thinking about. How do you see the future then? If you think about what you're thinking about, how would you think about the future? How do you see your future? How do you see what is going to be happening in the weeks to come? What's going to be happening next summer? What's going to be happening? Do you look at it from an Eeyore standpoint? You know, Winnie the Pooh? Oh, well. Can't get any worse than it is right now. I guess it might get worse. Or are you like Tigger? Let's bounce around some more. Life is great. Life is sunny. I don't know how, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but who cares? Let's just go. How do you look at the future? Seriously, our thoughts are consuming. They consume us, and if we are constantly looking at negative things, worry, fear, and anxiety, I have to say that kind of outlook for your future is bad news. It's bad news, because what consumes your mind consumes and controls your life. How you think and have that perspective in your heart and in your life will paint the picture of how you approach every situation in your life. The life you have is a reflection of the thoughts that you think. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever looked at your life and went, I am a pretty negative person, or I am a positive person, and therefore how I respond to these things, I live my life in such a way. If you walk in fear, how many of your decisions have been made out of fear? Something to consider in this, but Proverbs talks about, as a man thinks in his heart, so he'll be. You know, it's how he walks out his life. How we will walk out our life is what is consuming our minds. And so when we start to kind of look about that or think about that, it's like, well, if the world's just deep in trouble, I can't trust anyone, you know, I'm just hating my circumstances, life couldn't get any better, doesn't make any sense. The quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. As your mind is consumed by negativity, so your thoughts and your life will go in that direction. All right? Looking at a pessimist, studies have shown that pessimists tend to view negative events as both personal and permanent. What do I mean by that? Personal, it's my fault. I am no good. I am a failure. I am unworthy. I am incapable. I blow it. And then from that place of making it personal, it makes it permanent, to where they're using words like always and never, saying things like bad things always happen to me, right? Or things are never going to change. I'm always a victim. When we begin to have that pessimistic mindset, those are the areas that we begin to, that we think over and over and over, and we just cycle through those negative thoughts. Is this the way that we want to think forever and ever? Or are we ready to say, I'm done, and make some changes? You ready to say, I'm done today? Say, I'm done.
I'm done.
All right, all right. Well, being content, being satisfied, being blessed, and being optimistic, they're not just states of mind. I'm sorry, they're not just state of affairs, they are states of mind. Forgive me for that. So, what consumes your mind consumes your life. So let me ask you, what does consume your mind? Is it failure or is it faith? Whatever you feed, you will start to grow. And so I want to just encourage you today, if you're wanting to feed your faith will grow. That place in your life will start to exceed, start to increase, start to get bigger and bigger and bigger. When we start to focus on our faith, that area will start to grow. When we focus on our fears, those things will start to grow, and they will start to take over our thought processes. So I want to encourage you today to focus on your faith. But I want to just tell you that I have struggled with this tremendously over the last year. I have fed so much into my anxiety, so much of my fear, so much of the stress that it has consumed my body. It is crazy. I went to the doctor because I wasn't feeling good. Just nothing like last week where I just had a fever and a sore throat, that type of a thing. I wasn't feeling good, just overall. Just tired, lethargic, just stomach, just was constantly irritated. Just was in a bad place. And so I went to the doctor, and my doctor was saying, Mark, because of the way you think, the stress that you are processing in your mind, it is just controlled and consumed your gut. I'm like, I know it's consumed my gut. I'm telling you, it's a part of it. So how we think, our bodies will process that stuff. And I have, over this last year, wrecked my body because of the way I have been processing and thinking. I've struggled with this. And it started, some of it starts like this. I mean, I was looking or listening to the radio based upon the COVID information so I could find out what was going on, so that, because we were making decisions weekly about whether or not to wear masks, how many people we could put in the church, you know, all of these different things. And so I'm listening to the radio, well, pretty soon, or I'm reading the news. So I would listen to the radio just for the COVID stuff. Well, then I would just continue to listen to the radio for other news that was going on. Pretty soon I was listening on my way into town and home. Then I was checking the newspaper. Then I was checking articles online. Then I was looking at Facebook and Instagram, and I was clicking on all of the different news articles that happened on my social media, and pretty soon I'm spending my day angry because of what I'm reading and consuming into my mind and how I am devouring all of this social media, and it's pretty ugly. It's divisive. It's angry. And I'm listening to the radio. Doesn't matter. NPR, Fox News, it doesn't matter. I'm yelling at everybody. It was crazy. Again, I'm stepping out of my body, and I'm like, who is this guy? Yelling at the radio. Psycho? No. It happens. The struggle is real. And so I had to realize something, that I needed to limit the amount of yuck I was feeding myself. I've limited it to 30 minutes a day. 30 minutes. And I consume a lot more of the word and prayer and relationship with the Lord, because I'm recognizing how much more I need to feed into my faith than my fears. All right? I want to walk through how we can do that today. Because for many of us, we might find ourselves in the situation where you can relate to that and go, yeah, I've been reading a lot of conspiracy theories about how things are happening right now, and I'm pretty ticked, or I'm pretty fearful. I've been listening to a lot of stuff where I'm having issues with things, and that's consuming me, and I'm stressed out. Well, I want to just walk through a process that I do that helps me to feed my faith. You guys ready? You might want to take some notes on this, or you might just want to follow along, but I'm going to walk you through a process of this today through Romans 8, okay? Through that verse that we read, 8:28, for I know all things work together for good, all right? So here's how we do this. So when I find a verse like that I want to meditate on, I want to dig into the scripture a little bit more. So I'll look at who's writing it, what the context was, where you know, who's writing, who are they writing it to? And so all of these different things I will look at. I'll look at verses after the scripture that I'm reading. I'll look at scriptures before. I'll even take in the chapter before as I'm reading this, so I can understand the overall picture of what I am ingesting, okay, what I'm taking in terms of just reading that scripture. And so I read that verse from Romans 8:28, and I go, okay, who's writing this? Well, Paul is writing to the Romans. When Paul's writing a letter, it'll usually say to the person he's writing it to. Some of the New Testament authors will say, like, John or Peter. It says who is writing the letter. But Paul would have had, like, you know, instead of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, it would be like 1 Paul, 2 Paul, 3 Paul, 4 Paul, 8 Paul, you know, type of a thing. So we're with Paul, we're reading who the letters are to. And so he's writing to the Romans, and he's speaking about all of these different things, and he's sharing this stuff in Romans 8, but let's look back in Romans 7 for a second. Paul is sharing about the miseries of ministry and the ministries of his life, and he's getting into this place of saying, yeah, I'm really messed up. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I know that I should do. And he starts going down this road of anxiety, fear. He's just kind of going down, down, down in this place. And then he, like, as he's writing this, snaps out of it and goes, whoa, chapter 8. Not that he's like, and chapter 8. But he says, therefore, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And he starts to share about how with the mind of flesh, when you're thinking about that stuff, you have the desires of the flesh. But when you have your mind on the Spirit, there is life and there is peace. And when you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. He's like, come on, let's go. He's getting positive. He starts thinking about this stuff. And he goes on to Romans 8:18. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, When I read this, looking at present sufferings, I go back to who wrote it, and I go, who wrote this book? Paul wrote this book. So what is he talking about with present sufferings? Okay? If you read in the book of Acts about the life of Paul, you got to know what the present sufferings Paul was walking through. And I'm just going to read to you some of the things that are his present sufferings. He was imprisoned multiple times. All right? 5 times he endured a 40 lashings. Okay? 5 times. Just to put things into perspective, when Jesus went to the cross, he had those 40 lashings 1 time. All right? Paul endured that same cat of nine tails, beating the 40 times. He endured that 5 separate times. 3 times, Paul was beaten with rods. 1 time, Paul was stoned, rocks being thrown at him. I just want to make that clear. Okay? Had rocks thrown at him to the point of death. All right? He was shipwrecked. He spent a night on the seas, clinging to some driftwood, some boat wreckage. All right? He was betrayed. He was beaten and left for dead. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Present sufferings, his present sufferings, when he saw that and he thought about that, he goes, man, that pales in comparison to what is going to be happening in the future. Can't even begin to compare with God's future blessings and the glory that is revealed in us. Remember that optimism of unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. We need to be starving our fears and feeding our faith. We need to be renewing our thoughts, focusing on what's good, true, pure, right, noble, trustworthy, all of those things. And our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So if you are thinking about the positive things, if you are thinking about your faith, if you are moving in that direction, you will move in that direction. If you are thinking about the negative stuff, obviously, you're going to start yelling at people, stealing your grocery cart. And it goes on in Romans 8:26, and where he says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And so I want to encourage you that you are not having to do this on your own, but you actually have the Spirit to walk this out with you, to be that encourager, to help you along in this process so that you're not just flailing around dealing with this and having the hard time and struggling with it. All right? You have the Holy Spirit. That is great news. You never have to walk alone. And this Spirit that I'm talking about, this Holy Spirit, is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So if he is able to do that, then he is able to walk you through the struggles and the hardships and bring about the positivity in your life. Feeling a little weak today? Discouraged. I hope that this is encouraging you. I hope that this is starting to build something in you that you're able to tangibly grab a hold of. I hope that when you look at Scripture in the future that you'll be able to take these things in context, to process this stuff and look at this and be excited about what God is up to and how guys like Paul or John or Peter are writing these things for different people and how they can encourage us because how they have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, many people will say that God helps those that help themselves. And I want to just say that that is not scriptural, okay? Just so you know that, I want you to understand what Scripture actually says. God helps those who need his help. So when you are weak and broken and desperate, understand that when you call on the Lord, he will come and help you, all right? When you are hurting, allow God to be your comfort. All right? When you're confused, allow God to be your guide. When you're discouraged, he is your hope. When you're anxious, he is your peace. And when you are weak, he is your strength. Philippians 4:13. Come on. I love it. I'm like, oh, I'm talking about that today. It's good. So when we start to reflect on all of those things, we go back to this verse in Romans 8:28 where it says, "And I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I can go, okay, God, you are putting things in my tool belt right now in the midst of this place that I'm at. This storm, and it is a storm, and I'm not talking about just going, hey, things are great. Like I said, when you're getting punched in the face, it's not how it works, but you can go, all right, I'm being punched in the face right now. But God, figuratively, hopefully not literally, all right? I'm getting punched in the face right now. I'm in the midst of a storm. I'm hurting. I'm having a hard time walking this through. Lord, I need to be reminded of the good that you are bringing. I need to have your strength in the midst of this hardship in my life. Would you encourage me, Lord? Would you help walk this through with me? In all things, God works for the good. The Lord is the one at work. And at times, you may not even know it. This winter, I was feeding the birds, like Mary Poppins sings about. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag. We like Mary Poppins in my house. And so I'm feeding the birds. My mother-in-law started calling me an old person because now I'm turning into a bird person. And but that's okay. I don't mind. I think it's pretty cool. I get to watch Stellar Jays and Evening Grosbeaks. I mean, it's pretty cool. So I'm feeding all these birds, and in the midst of the snow, they're just flinging seed everywhere. So seed is falling onto the ground. It's falling onto my deck. And so then the snow comes, and it's like by the end of the winter, as I've been feeding all of these birds, and all the seed has been falling, now it's been melted, and there is this like seed cake on the ground below the bird feeder. All right, and I'm planning on, okay, as soon as the weather kind of warms up and it kind of dries out a little bit more, I'll take care of it and I'll clean up the deck. Well, I'm out there and I see like a couple of chipmunks here and there from time to time. And I'm like, what are they doing? Well, pretty soon, that seed cake is gone. And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. I didn't have to do a thing. The chipmunks took care of the mess on the ground of all of these seeds. And I want to just encourage you and say that you can't always see the Lord, but he is working behind the scenes similarly to those chipmunks. God is doing things, and he's cleaning up the yuck, and you don't even know that it's going on. Praise God that he does some things even behind the scenes like this. Many times we might think that the key to happiness is just lowering our expectations so we won't be disappointed. But I want to just encourage you today to raise the expectations, to be in the presence and the power and the fullness of God, to not say things like, well, I wish that we could get back to normal. But instead we can start to say, I can't wait till we can become better than normal. That my marriage will come to exponential greatness, to the things that I'm stronger in my family, we're closer together, that the love that I have for my wife is deeper than it's ever been before, that my generosity is greater, that as a Christian I am more bold to speak and to share my faith with others, that the light that this church brings is even brighter than it's ever been before, and may God, may it be that the harvest is bigger than it has ever been before. Are you catching this today? What are you feeding? Are you feeding fear and negativity? Or are you feeding your faith, and are you beginning to get more positive? I want to invite the worship team to come back up. Our massive worship team today. And I want to close with this. As we're finishing out this journey through Romans 8 today, okay? At the end of this amazing mind faith-filling thing that Paul is doing as he's sharing about how amazing God is and what he is doing and how in all things he works for the good. As he's coming to this point, he finishes this chapter by saying this in Romans 8:38. He says, "For I am convinced," in all of this stuff, "for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, nothing, amen. Nothing will separate, nothing will attack that can completely destroy and separate us from this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a comfort to me. Because you might be in a place today where you've said, I've blown it so much, I just don't know if God will accept me anymore. Man, I've messed up. I've done this, I've done that, and pretty soon, again, we fall into that victim mentality, right? But no. What Paul says is revealing of so much truth about the character of God. That he will not leave you. That he will not be separated from you because he loves you so much that in the midst of the struggle and in the midst of the storm, he will take that time and he will work that for your good. Woo! You're getting new tools in your tool belt. I really believe that even right now. God is preparing things for you. God is setting things up in the midst of your storm today. Wherever you find yourself, there are things that God is placing in you for greatness. For greatness. I've had conversations with guys who have dealt with and struggle with pornography and have walked through victory over that addiction. And now I'm talking because of where they were at, seriously, they were on the verge of losing their family. They were on the verge of losing their marriage. I mean, everything was falling apart all around them. And they came to God, and they pressed in that relationship. And they started to ask for other brothers to come help them and hold them accountable. And they got help, and they started working it through. And they're breaking that addiction of pornography. And now, because of where they were at and where they are now, they're able to speak into other guys' lives and hold them accountable and encourage them to say, you can break this with the power of God. There is a freedom that you can experience away from pornography. Guys, I'm telling you, the struggle here, walked out of that struggle, and with the power of God, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, in him, breaking that addiction, he is now able to help other guys break that addiction. That's what I'm talking about. God used this struggle and this hardship for good. Amen. Amen. This is so good. So no matter where you go, remember that God is there. No matter what you do, remember that God, he loves you. And no matter what happens to you, remember that your God is for you. Would you stand with me? Let's close in prayer today. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this encouraging word. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that you will help us to say that we are done with negativity and that we will begin to walk out a positive life, that we will be focused on you. You are a good, good Father. It's who you are, as the song goes. It's who you are. So, Lord, may we not believe the lie that in these negative moments, the shame that gets built up, that we become so pessimistic that we identify ourselves with the crud that is in our lives. May you set us free. And may we begin to build our faith. And may we crush fear. I love you, Lord. And I pray these things. And may we all be transformed as we walk from this place. May we be optimistic. And may we recognize an unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. We praise you, Lord, and lift you up. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.